So, you know, there's a question about the infallibility of Chazal, okay? Like, can they make mistakes? So I think, you know, I'm not talking about in terms of science or in terms of history. I'm talking about halacha itself. So it goes to the question of, you know, do we have to listen to Chazal even if they're wrong, right? So what's the pasuk that sort of deals with that?
Or what, well, how could you not say that Chazal is wrong?
So how can you say? Oh, so you're saying Chazal's?
I mean, if they say something, how can you say they're wrong? I mean,
how can you say? Okay.
Don't so we have a Homo Sefta that talks about it?
Right. Isn't there? Don't you have to bring a? There are some times where they make a ruling and they figure out that they're wrong, right? So there's that famous pasuk, right? It says in Parsha Shoftim, Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Tes to Yud Aleph. You're going to come to the Kohanim, to Levim, to the Shofet, the judge who were in those days. And you will seek and they will tell you the judgment, the halacha. And you will do whatever they tell you. From the place that God chooses, in other words, when they're in Yerushalayim. Vishamarta, and you're going to observe to do whatever they tell you. I think there's a discussion. Does this mean gezeros, takanos, rulings? What does it mean? But well, just in general, listen to Chazal. Al piha Torah asher yerucha, according to the Torah that they teach you. V'ala mishpat asher yomulucha tase, the judgment that they tell you, you should do. Lo tasur min adavar asher yidulucha yamin u'smol. You shouldn't deviate from the word that they tell you, right or left. Okay, so that's like extra, right? The Torah says you should do what they tell you. Don't deviate from that which they tell you, right or left. So what does right or left mean? What is right or left? Why do they say don't deviate from the right or left? It's a famous medrash. Afilu yomu lecha al yamin shu smol, o smol shu yamim al tsumi divrayim. What does that mean? What does that line mean? Afilu yomu lecha al yamin shu smol, o smol shu yamim al tsumi divrayim.
Even if they tell you a fact, the wrong, like,
even if they tell you that right is left, yeah, and left is right, you have to listen to them.
Even if the pshat is that they're absolutely wrong.
Even if they tell you, this seems to mean, even if they tell you something's objective, so you ask me, how can they be wrong? This seems to say that even if they tell you that right is left and left is right, don't deviate from them. So
what is the context here? Are we talking about asking them what the halacha is?
What the halacha is? So that's a good question.
Or is it like a court case?
It's at the very least a court case. It might be gzeros and takanos. There is a discussion as to what context that is. When it comes to gzera, right, you say, don't do this because it might lead to this. So it's hard to evaluate whether they're right or wrong in that, because that's simply, they're making a fence, and it's hard to know whether it's right or wrong, right? It's just a precaution. Right. But let's say they make a ruling, right? They make a ruling, and this seems to say, even if they're right, even if they say the right is left, if it's right, don't deviate from them. So I wrote this question here. How would the Ritva's 49 multiple truths perspective deal with this question? Meaning, the Ritva had a perspective that when Moshe was at Sinai, he said that he showed Moshe 49 ways that something could be permitted, and 49 ways something could be forbidden. So how would would you have to say that they're wrong in this case? You're saying you think something's right, they say it's left. Right? You it's right, them it's left. So would they necessarily be wrong according to the Ritva's approach?
Different truths,
right. So I'm saying we saw there was a debate between, let's say, the Ritva and the Ran. The Ritva held that basically there are multiple truths, multiple perspectives. You know, you could have a fact and you could think, I think it's permitted, you think it's forbidden. No, there's different ways to look at it. So I'm not bothered by this question, you know, are Chazal infallible? Well, maybe if you take the view that there could be 49 ways of understanding the truth, so you have one way, which is objectively correct, and they have another way, and they win, they're Chazal, you're not. I'm saying, it's not, that question doesn't bother me as much. The question doesn't bother me as much if I'm the Ritva, right? But then when you get to the Ran, then we have a little bit different.
Hey,
Jason. So you get to the Ran, you get a little bit different. You look at the Ran. So there's a general question about mitzvos. I'm curious what you think. Do you think mitzvos, like, have an inner logic, or you don't understand? Like, is there logic to every mitzvah? You ever think about that?
Not chukim, right?
Well, okay, is there a logic to chukim or not?
We don't understand it.
So you're saying that there definitely... Now, you're saying that somehow a chuk makes you better. There's something inherently valuable about a chuk. It makes you better. We don't know what it is. But there's something better.
We don't necessarily know what it is.
Okay, we don't necessarily know what it is. Okay, you're saying a mission. We know what it is. It's not everyone holds that. By the way, look at the Ron for a second. Okay. The Ron said, we're asking, do we have to listen to the rabbis even if they're wrong? So it says yes. I want to know if the rabbis are infallible when it comes to halacha. That's my question tonight. Are the rabbis infallible? JC, any thoughts on that? The rabbis infallible? Want to take a position on this?
Not yet.
Okay, it's very good. It's good. Okay. So the Ron says the following. Vihine yesh kan. I'm not talking about this rabbi here. I'm thinking rabbis in general. Not Chazal. Okay. Vihine yesh kan makom iyun. We need to investigate this. Ki zero ishe yimashaych al das ki mi sheyachshov she'ein tam the mitzvahs Torah klal. There are some people who think there's no reason for certain mitzvahs at all. Elokum nimshachos achar haratzon levad. There's a view, and the Rambam actually holds of this maybe, that there's certain things that we do simply because it's the divine will. Ulefize achar shehadavar mitzad atzmo einenu roi lios tame o tahor derech mashal. That maybe something inherently, it's not fit to be tame or tahor. Avomashim shetima tahu Otiharatahu nimshach achar haratzon levad. The Ron disagrees with all of you, which is okay in his first approach. So there could be certain mitzvos that there's no inherent value in doing them. So why we do them? No, why would we do a mitzvah if there's no inherent value in the mitzvah itself? What's the other reason why we do a mitzvah? There's no inherent value in a particular chok. Shot this. Okay.
God told us to do
it. God, and so what does that teach us to do?
Blind faith.
Or obedience. Blind obedience. Right. It doesn't like how you look at faith. But I'm saying you could look at a chok, right? You could look at a chok as simply, right? We don't like to do that because then it's like, why are the details? It may not make so much sense to us, right? But you could look, he says, at a chok is simply it's divine will. And you know what we get out of it? We do what God said. So, like, all these questions, why this, why that, why that, I don't, like, maybe it's simply we score points for obedience. I think that is, by the way, I think there's value to that. I think we do score points for obedience, but there might also be some inherent value. But he says, if that's the case, hanimshach achar koma she'anichu chach mehador, then if you follow what the rabbis say, yavshar she'yu divrei mal hefach ha'ebes, then they're obviously not saying the opposite of truth. So if you think about it, here's my question again. The question is, like, why should you listen to the rabbis if they are telling you something which is objectively not true? If they tell you that right is left and left is right, why do you have to listen to them? So if you take the view that maybe when it comes to these laws, let's say chukim, right, like a chuk, so they interpret it one way, you say no the other way. It may not. Maybe there's no inherent value in doing the mitzvah just because God said so. Okay, so follow the rabbis. God said, listen to the rabbis. There's no inherent value to the mitzvah, so it's not a problem. But here, however, as most of you intuited, we generally don't follow that approach. But we believe what? That what the Torah tells us not to do, it harms us. We don't know why. That's your intuition is, we do a chok, or we don't do an isser that we don't understand. We know it's bad for us. We don't know how, but since God said so, we trust Him. Umoli roshim rabban after saying, like, the classic example, right? If you eat some non-kosher food, somehow it makes your soul impure. You ever heard that before? At some point, someone told you that, right? So it's bad for you, even if you don't understand how. The avo pishlo neida siba, so even if you don't understand the reason, lefize adas, so then, imkein kesheyaskimu achachmi b'dover achad tameshu tahor mayeh. So let's try to understand this. You believe, based on your understanding of something, whatever it is, a halacha, right, that the rabbis are wrong. But you're going to say, well, I've listened to the rabbis. So you're doing something which is sinful, which is harmful. Let's say, for example, the rabbis tell you that some food is kosher. But you study the topic and you think it's treif. The rabbi said it's kosher. But aren't you harming yourself? If you believe that averos harm you, so aren't you harming yourself, he says. And he says, look what he says. Hello, adavar hu yazik otanu bifo mashi betiva lifo. If you think they got it wrong, if they get it wrong, they tell you left is right, right is left. And you do it, you commit a sin based on what they said. It's harming your soul. Even all the rabbis said it's tohor. Let's say all the doctors agree that a certain medicine is fine, but I don't understand this term exactly, but it's like it's bad for you. It's the heat on the fourth degree. I don't fully understand it, but basically, if all doctors say this is one, but in reality it's X, the doctors all say, we think this vaccine is good for you, but objectively it's not good for you. Or vice versa. Okay, right? Whatever it is. All the doctors say that Daniel just got his booster shot. Okay, so no, okay, today, in fact. Okay, so all the doctors say, you know, that this medicine is good for you, right? But objectively, it's not the case. So you're going to say, because all the doctors said, if you really believe that mitzvahs have inherent value, so when you're listening to the rabbis and they're telling you something that's objectively wrong, isn't that like when all the doctors say,
but who determines that it's wrong?
I understand, but I'm asking you the following. The Midrash says you have to listen to the rabbis, even if they tell you that right is left and left is right. That's what it says. I'm just saying the Midrash says if it's a low tasser, right? Don't deviate. Even if they tell you right is left, left is right. Why should you listen to them if you believe like what you all told me that a sin can objectively harm you? Why do you listen to Chazal? That's my question. Okay. What do you think? Any thoughts?
And don't you have to say that your understanding is limited, and if they tell you that it is, it's probably good, and you just don't understand why?
So you want to say that you're not taking the Midrash literally, but you want to say that even if they tell you that, even if you think that right is left, and left is right, listen to them because you're probably wrong.
Well,
that's what you're saying.
Okay. Well, otherwise, you know, okay, initially you don't weigh you.
Okay, I understand. And I understand. And as you're saying, don't take this measure seriously. No, which is fine. And as you're saying, that Chazal were imbued with a special power to definitely know everything correctly. And if you think they're wrong, you're probably wrong. You have some question. Like, why are we listening to Chazal?
How can we have a religion where the rabbis tell you something and you weigh what they say and decide whether to do it or not?
Okay.
And we're not all doing the same thing.
Okay, I hear. Okay, so, yeah?
You already say the value of the obedience over, like, is greater than whatever metaphysical harm.
Right, so you say maybe the value of obedience is greater. Okay, so maybe, right.
It could be similar to what we said a few weeks ago where, you know, if the majority holds one way, you go by that, then even if it's wrong, if the rabbis are telling you, you know, because they were given the power to make the halachic decisions, it doesn't matter what you...
Right, so even in other words, right, the value of obedience is greater than... That like the harm,
Well, it might not be that there's any harm happening to you.
Mm-hmm. Why is there no harm happening? So now you're saying averos really don't have inherent.
No, this is not an avera. Not that averos don't. Averos do. You could be doing the same action, right?
Right.
I ate pig just by my own volition.
Right.
Avera harms me. I ate pig sanctioned by a rabbi who said it was kosher. Then there's doesn't no harm. Me.
That's interesting. Okay, I hear. That's what you're saying. You know, you're saying that what mitzvah avera is not really inherently harmful. It's only harmful if it's done because you didn't listen to some authority figure. That's what you're saying. Okay, right. I hear.
For certain.
Okay, I said. Okay, it's interesting. So the Ramban by the way holds veina kavana bahem. Look at the Ramban in Kedoshim. Say veina kavana bahem shatora. He says, all gzeros, all rules have some reason. There's an inner logic. He called imrat elokei trufa. He doesn't believe that just, that's our intuition. God just didn't command mitzvos for no reason. Everything God said is pure. That chukim are decrees that God's not revealing the purpose. Veina amnenim bahem, and the people aren't, they don't get benefit from it intentionally, they don't know. They do it because God said so. He says, and the chukim of God, they're the secrets of the Torah that people don't understand. They don't treat it like mishpatim. It's not intuitive. But every there is an inner logic. So if you hold there's an inner logic, so can Chazal be wrong? So you want to say Chazal can be wrong, but once they say it,
right.
You say the inner logic depends on not just on the thing itself. Say, wow, that's like, well, I haven't seen that. That's interesting though.
That makes sense. The whole system. Metaphysics. You're undermining the system if you don't listen to that.
Right. See, that's your, but yeah, I know. I hear you.
That's a big deal. It's more than whatever.
Yeah. I'm saying right. So you have to say that. That's you have to say right. So that, I guess it's a variation of what Eric is saying. And he's just saying like you're just weighing harm, but the obedience is so much more important than that. So like. Right, because there are korbanos that you bring, like you said.
Yeah, but who brings those korbanos?
Right. So it could be not be you, it could be them, right. but it could be because they caused you to sin. Right.
But you still
sin. Yeah, I just.
But you still sin.
Right.
But
right.
Maybe you didn't sin.
Right.
They are the ones that sin.
First of all, there's like a real mystical approach. Whatever you want the mystical approach, you go to the Ramban. You got to go to Ramban, right? Ramban gives the most mystical approach. And he says, look what he writes. He says, first of all, he starts off and he says, HaTorah, this is in his Shoresh Aleph and Sefer HaMitzvos. He says, Ki HaTorah nitna lano de Moshe Rabbeinu b'ksav, God gave Moshe the Torah in writing, v'galoi hu shlo yishtavu adeos. Most people, behold, varim, things are good, people have different opinions. V'chatech lano yisparach adid shenishba b'esan agal. You have to listen to the high court. B'chol bash yomru. Whatever they say. Beche kiblu perusha rivenu o shiomu came in mashmos Torah v'kadosli datam. Whether it's, they say we have a tradition, this is what the Torah says, or whether it's based on their logic. Ki abashmot shalahem hu mitzav v'dosli latorah. Because God basically said, you got to listen to the rabbis. Now, look, now here's what the Ramban says. Yamin is small. Ah, so he says, why do you have to listen even if they say right is left, left is right? V'chatach ladu akasiv adin shenishma v'sin akano. Torah says, listen to the high court. Why? Ki aldas shelahem hu nosein lahem haTorah, because he gave the Torah based on their knowledge. Afilu yeah, this is sort of what you were saying, Arthur. Afilu yeah beinecha kemachli fayu b'sol. Even if you think that right is left, v'kol shekade sheyesh lachalach shov shehedo b'yom yomim shol yamid. And certainly, if you think that they're saying right and it's right, why? Look what he says: ki ruach Hashem. What's he saying here? The Spirit of God. What's he saying here? Ki ruach Hashem, the Spirit of God, is al bishorsei mikdasho, are those who serve his temple. V'lo yazov eschasidav. God will not leave his pious people. What does that mean? La'olam nishmeru min ha'tos u'min ha'michshol. They are always protected from mistake and from a stumbling block. What's he saying here? Why do you have to listen to the rabbis?
Because they're divinely inspired.
They never make a mistake. Okay? The Ramban writes in Bava Basra, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. He says, Hachi kabar, afal pi shenitla nevuas hadavim, shehu hamar v'hachazon. Even though God took away the power of prophecy, Nevuas hachachobim shehi bederach hachachba, the prophecy of the sages, which is wisdom, lo nitla, he didn't take it, ela yodi ba'emes beruach hakodesh shebekirba. So they have ruach hakodesh. What does ruach hakodesh mean? I don't think ruach hakodesh. How do you translate ruach hakodesh for the Ramban?
Some connection to God.
There's some divine spirit, which is not a prophecy, but which guides their wisdom. In other words, the Rabban says that God will never forsake his high court, and they're always going to make the right decision. Now, the Ramban would have to deal, we can see one more Ramban. Ramban would have to deal with, when they bring a korban. So it could be when they bring a korban, maybe it's due to some kind of moral failing. In other words, it may reflect on their moral failing. But this, when people say, Chazal had siyata d'shmaya and then ruach hakodesh, so again, this might not be my way of looking at things necessarily, but there's certainly a view in the Mefarshim, which basically takes the view that Chazal were divinely inspired. By the way, that can explain to you why, even if you think right is left, left is right, they know better, they were divinely inspired. But then there are some problems. So, and the Rabban, like, you have to play it out. So, for example, you know, there's a classic case where Vasisim lo kasher zomam, right? So let's say two witnesses testified that Reuven killed Shimon, and what happened? Those two witnesses were found to be false. So do you kill the witnesses or not? So there's a crazy, it seems like a wild halacha, which says you only kill them if what? Anyone know what that?
Didn't do it yet.
If you didn't put Reuven to death. But once you put Reuven to death, then, right, it seems very strange. So I would have thought, and generally speaking, right, if you think about you know, a legal system,
you normally
what? Murder gets a stronger punishment than attempted murder. So Eid Zomim is a case where attempted murder gets a stronger punishment than actual murder. So you're saying if someone murders someone, wow. You're saying if someone murders someone, then they get the death penalty. But if someone testifies falsely putting someone to death, that's even worse than murdering someone.
The person actually dies.
I want to compare two different cases, Joe. I want to compare the case of if you want to say if someone attempted murder. So then they get the kapara of death, but murder, they don't get the kapara of death. But I'm let's talk about other cases, right? If I shoot a guy, if someone shoots someone, right? So attempted murder, he's not put to death. Murder, he is put to death. So why is testimony different? I would say differently. Now, if someone murders someone, someone testifies falsely, and then through his speech, someone is put to death. So you're going to say that's more severe than actually the act of actually murdering someone.
You
know what I'm saying?
You got someone else to do it.
No, I'm saying if I...
Right, there's a special Kiddush that there is a kapara sometimes for doing this.
I'm saying, when you actively do it, but when you testify falsely, that's worse than actually murdering someone.
You're not supposed to make, like, kavachomers by...
I'm not saying kavachomers, but... it's hard for me. I'm saying the Rabban has a wild Kiddush. The Rabban... Okay, now listen. Look what the Ramban writes. The Ramban says, "V'lo kasher asa mikanamu hargoi narogim," and he wants to say the Vatam is there. Look what the Ramban writes. This is in his commentary in Parsha Shovli, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yutes. Bavur ki mishpata edim hamuzamin begzera sashali. He says, when it comes to witnesses, so you have God decides. Shem shnayim mishnayim. You have two and two. And when two people come and they say that Reuven killed someone, and two other witnesses say the first two were false, Hashem says that the two witnesses are killed. So because of the merit of Reuven, he was innocent, so this happened. If he was a wicked person, he wouldn't have been saved. But look what he writes here, the fourth line. Aval imnera Reuven. Let's say Reuven was killed. Nachshov shehaya ebes kol asher heidu olav harishodim. Then we believe that what the first witnesses testified was true. Kihu ba'avodo beis, because he died by a sin. V'ilu hoya tzadik, and if Reuven was righteous, lo yazvedu Hashem biyadav. God would not forsake them in their head. Kamo Hashem arkasim, Hashem lo yazvedu. Hashem does not leave them in his head. V'lo yashedu bishavto. Va'od. In other words, God says if Reuven is killed, then it has to be that he died because of his sin. So you could simply say that, you know what, even if he was falsely accused, he should have died anyway. You could say that, but then he goes further. Look what he writes here. Va'od, shelo yitein Hashem hashoftim hatzadikim ha'obdim lefanav lishboch damnaki. God would not allow the righteous judges to spill innocent blood. Because God dwells among the judges. This is the elevated status among Jewish judges. And there's a promise. That God agrees with them in judgment. So in other words, what's he really saying? He's saying that a little bit different than what you're saying, Joe. I'm not saying that your approach is not an approach. But he, the Ramban is saying that when the judges, normally speaking, right, two witnesses, if you have two witnesses, then two witnesses say the first two were with us and you're false, so they're held culpable. But once someone is put to death, because you have to understand, once this person is put to death, then that proves that the judges are wrong. And God will never make these judges, who are, again, we're talking about a court of 23, God would never, because God is involved in such a type of judgment, it would never happen that God, that is, even the judges are divinely inspired. So the Ramban is taking a very divine, mystical view of Chazal, of judges, basically the doctrine of infallibility when it comes to Chazal. So it's not to say that there's no Mesorah for that. That Chazal were not. The Ramban, it takes the view that Chazal were divinely inspired. He would say, what you're saying, Arthur, when the Torah says, even if they say right is left and left is right, so you have to listen to them. Why? Because what it really means is you think left is right, right is left, but they know better, 100%. However, that's not the only approach. Right? It's not the only approach. Right? Maybe you say, like what you're saying here, look what the Ran says. You want to say like this. That the Torah has to deal with a problem that could happen. We can't have machlokas all the time, different opinions. You can't have multiple Torahs. And how do we fix this problem of different judges, different rabbis saying different things? You deal with when there's a doubt, you go to the sage of the generation. That the majority will find a way to go. And their judgment is righteous. Now he says, look what he says. Listen, you take all the mistakes of the great rabbis. Muatos mimi shehu lamata behem b'chachba. They're very small. In other words, I don't have a problem by saying, you know what, I disagree with this, maybe Chazal, this, I'm not sure if they're right. 99.99% of the time, the Chazal got it right. They're the smartest people of their generation. And he does say, right, b'kosha ken ka, so he does that a little bit of mysticism. He's like, God is with them. Okay, the Shechina is with them. So there's less of a chance for them to make a mistake. The Ramban says it's impossible for them to make a mistake. They said they got the Shechina. So, you know, you got your wisdom and your Shechina.
The Ramban agrees that they could make a mistake.
But it might be for a moral failing.
But it's still, they made a mistake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it... Yes,
God would never put their hand unless there was some kind of moral thing that could
but it's
commit.
Still,
right. I mean, he would say putting someone to death, they would never make a mistake. That's what he says. That, but a ruling, it would only be a moral failing. I'm just saying.
Like a
tefillah,
they're supposed to say.
Mishnah Yomit. Okay. So right. So he said that Rav Nechuya ben Akana, we make a tefillah. Right, but I think the Ramban goes further than that. What the Ramban says, that God will never leave those who are pious. In other words, as long as they meet an ethical standard, they're not going to make a mistake.
But at the time, you don't know.
Yeah, okay, I understand. Right. So he says they could make mistakes, they intellectually. Here's the question: would Chazal make a mistake? If they are on an ethical level, would they make an intellectual mistake? Ramban says no. God would guide them. Ramban says sometimes they would, but they got the Shechina with them. You got your wisdom plus Shechina. You're probably not going to make a mistake.
But practically speaking, there's not much of a difference.
Right. Okay. Right. But a little. But the infallibility is a little.
It opens a little. Practically, there's nothing for anything.
I'm saying. No, it's how we understand it. No, it's how we understand this. And we because you know, it could bother you. Can they be right? Can they not be right? Because it bothers many people. Right. Some of the things that Chazal say, we're saying even in halacha, can you disagree? Can you not disagree? Do we have the freedom to say, you know, I'm going to judge this differently, or do we say that's like heresy or close to heresy? Right. So I think it's like how we approach this. I think it's. I think that's an important question. Right. And that's why sometimes we want to say they're infallible, because once we say they're not infallible, then we're going to say practically the law is different. So some people believe that they're not infallible, but they'll say they're infallible because once you say they're not infallible, then you're not going to have to follow them. Right. So it's important to understand though how you view that. right? Then he said, "Ve'im heyoshel lefavim etchos al tzara pela bazeres." Once in a while, yishku derma, they'll make a mistake. Lochasha torli fase ahu anofama. The Torah's not going to be concerned with that minor issue, that small amount of times. Ki royli spolo sobi mitzad rova tikkunim shechtavim. He says, you know, maybe. It could be, like, go to your point about obedience versus the value. It could be in that one time, yeah, it's messed up. You know, like, the sin is going to outweigh the value of obedience. But the bigger picture, like, we could deal with that. There's, like, the individual sin. And the big picture, like, you got to go with following Chazal because, you know, the overall benefits outweigh the, you know, the one or two times. And the Sefer Chinuch has a totally non-mystical approach. He just says, listen, guys. He says, "Afil yom lechal yomim shul small shul yomim lo tasur b'mitzvah sam." Don't deviate from what they're saying. Kolomar, shefilu yiyu heim toim b'davar echa min advar. Even if they make a mistake, ein roy lo delach lo kaleim avon nasek tosam. Just follow their according to their mistake. V'tov lispol tos echa v'yu akol mesurim tachas datav atov tami. Better, right? You suffer the punishment. Again, you can even say you're worse off because you ate the non-kosher food. But it's better, the overall benefit of following their opinion. And everyone follow their own opinion. It's going to be destructive to the nation. So that's why they said follow Chachmei Yisrael. Same reason, you have a minority deferring to the majority. Nothing mystical at all. You need a system. You've got to follow the system. This is what, as you said, you follow the rabbin. So what's interesting is that you think about, you know, we talked about, you know, Shivim Parim Torah, the idea of multiple truths, one truth. So you could get out of this whole problem by just saying, you know, I think the rabbis are wrong. You could simply say multiple perspectives. The Ritva will simply say multiple perspectives. I have my perspective, they have their perspective. And you know what? I'm allowed to feel that I'm correct. But you know what? There could be different ways of looking at things. And you know, a sense of humility to think about that. But the truth is, even if you hold there is one truth, and even if you hold that sometimes you could, you know, it's bad for you to listen to them, it's a, you, maybe you're committing a sin. Rambam was saying, no, trust me, you're wrong. They're right. So some people, they buy into that. And then some people. Well,
otherwise, you have anarchy if you don't.
No, so okay. So my point is, you don't. My point is, you can believe that they can make mistakes, but there's an overall good. There's an overall good. Either they do have some kind of shechina, or there is an over. We shouldn't. In other words, it shouldn't be all or nothing. That's the problem sometimes, because probably what happens is that in some circles, some people buy into the rabbis never make a mistake, and then it doesn't work for people. They say they made this mistake, that mistake, the other mistake, and therefore they make mistakes. We have to follow them. Right? They have a whole bunch of people saying, yeah, I like this chazal, but I don't like this chazal. You know, the rabbis were, what the rabbis say about this makes sense, and what they say about this doesn't make sense. Now I'm going to pick and choose. Once you say they're not infallible, right? Once you say they're not, once someone tells you they're obviously infallible, and you can pick that apart, then I can do what I want. So to some extent, the Sefer Chinuch is a more dangerous position, but it's also a safer position in some respects. Because you can acknowledge the fact that Chazal were people, they're human beings, they had, it wasn't mean they had Siyat Dishmaya, they had Rukha, whatever, I don't know what that means. But you can simply say they're the greatest minds of their generation, ethical, moral people, they're the greatest leaders of the generation, and it just makes sense to follow them for the structure of the religion. And I think there is, again, different people have different approaches, but it's important, you know, that's why for some people, and it could be at a younger age, you tell them they're infallible, or else they're going to go off the derech. And it could be, I'm saying, it could be that when they're younger, you say, okay, because they're a human being and you're a human being. You could decide differently than them. But on the flip side, at some point, we need to be open to the possibility that on the one hand, they might not be infallible, but on the other hand, doesn't mean you don't have to follow them because you think about it, right? I mean, you see in today's day and age, right? The other streams of Judaism, I have to repeat that, you know, not to say that we've, see, once Chazal is not infallible, so we can find mistakes, and there are problems, and a lot of problems. But this system, so far, has been the only system that's worked for the most part.
We can't have anarchy. I mean,
I understand what I'm saying. When others had a different view and trying to redefine Chazal and keep up with the times, it didn't work. So we're saying, like, this is a system, Baruch Hashem, that works. Doesn't mean it's a perfect system. It's a human system. So human beings try to deal with the divine system. It doesn't always work. So it's not perfect. But it's certainly our best system, and I think it makes the most sense. Okay.